People of the world, it's the Brothers Talk family with your hosts, Rod, Scott, and Norm. Join us each Friday wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts or on our website to hear us three black, unfiltered African-American men with no strings attached, giving voice to the most feared, most misunderstood, and most rarely heard from segment of the population on topics of interest to us for education, enlightenment, and entertainment. You can reach us with your comments, questions, and suggestions at The Brothers Talk on Twitter, The Brothers Talk on Instagram, and the Facebook group of the same name. And also follow us on Facebook. And if you want to share in more detail, hit us up at the email address, thebrotherstalk@gmail.com. Stay tuned for our soon-to-launch YouTube channel, and now on with this week's show. We're back again, Brothers Talk family, as we join you once again in the car, the gym, the den, kitchen, barbershop, or beauty shop, in the backyard, on the corner, or wherever you hold your relevant conversations to spur critical thinking and activism around support for the Black community. And we want to welcome our first-time listeners, as we're glad you're joining our worldwide family, and we hope that you'll keep helping us to spread the word about promoting critical thought, enlightened conversations, and new business opportunities to empower and enrich our community. Here we are in the midst of some of the most monstrous hypocrisy that the world has ever seen, when the Republicans have literally gone against all of their so-called standards, from abandoning family values and embracing Russia to claiming to be against an activist Supreme Court. While they're continuing to line up behind one of the most immoral people in the history, in the 45th occupant of the White House, they've done an about face regarding their iconic hero, Ronald Reagan, and genuflected to Putin. But they're also supporting the most activist court that we've seen in our lifetime. They're literally turning back the racism calendar while the feckless Dems keep twiddling their thumbs. We've been very pointed in our criticism of the Dems, and we will be again, but we cannot miss this opportunity to point out the absolute disaster that the Repugs are for people with color, women, the middle and lower economic classes, to education, healthcare, and to our safety and well-being when it comes to gun control. And it's getting worse as this significantly minority party is making a blatant and obvious power grab. So I repeat my position that no person with color, no woman, and no one from the middle and lower socioeconomic classes should ever vote with the grand old racist party. Finally, it's your weekly reminder to keep sounding off to everyone about getting vaccinated, social distancing, and avoiding super spreader events. And now to my partners in striving for critical thinking, Scott and Norm.
Thanks, Rod. Family as usual, thank you for your continued support. And as usual, I talk about the pandemic a lot, you know, because it's still here. But Rod touched on a couple of things that are near and dear to me in his presentation. And one of the things that I'm having some issues with is, okay, we got two Supreme Court justices who lied under oath, but yet I don't hear an outcry about it, any outrage about that. I thought that when you lied on the oath, you know, you got prosecuted. So we're at a critical time right now, and I hope that people are paying attention, that you have the powerful and the rich, basically laws don't apply to them. If nothing happens to the Trump administration and the people who assisted him in planning and carrying out the attack on January 6th, if nothing happened to those people, if nothing happened to the Supreme Court, why should the rest of us abide by these laws? I mean, something has to give here, something has to be done. Norm?
Thanks, Scott. And like yourself, I want to actually review what Rod said and touch on something he said. I really don't blame the Republican Party, because this is what they are. This is what they pretty much have always been the past 50 years. I blame the Democrats, and especially the corporate establishment Democrats, because they do not represent the people. They have sold the people out, and in doing so, couldn't defeat the worst candidate in U.S. history. And the results are what's happening now in the Supreme Court and our rights in this country. So literally, this lies at the feet of the corporate Democratic establishment. Ron.
We're extremely glad to have with us on this episode, Paula Goddard. the founder and executive director of Horizons Youth Program, Inc., a 501c3 nonprofit organization which provides academic and cultural enrichment and leadership development for youth and adults. Her creative programming often blends fields such as the performing arts and financial literacy. Sister Goddard is a certified entrepreneurship instructor. In 2009, she was named Mentor of the Year by Focus Mentoring Program. She was the host and producer of the internet radio show Star Talk with Paula Goddard, which was a socio-political show that presented a balanced viewpoint on a variety of subjects, including the latest news headlines, and was broadcast live to 135 countries. She's also been a teacher in several public school districts and in public charter schools. Sister Paula is the author of the personal finance book, Money Minute, Financial Food for Thought, Volume 1, which won the 2016 E-Lit Award, and also the children's book, Children of the Sun, The Painted Ones, Part 1. Her children's book series, The Tea Princess, will be available soon. If that wasn't enough, this busy lady is also a playwright of short plays. Her Dry Cleaner's Dilemma, a dramatic short play, was chosen for the 2019 DC Black Theater and Arts Festival. Sister Paula is a recipient of the 2017 Financial Educators Day Award from the National Financial Educators Council. She earned a Bachelor of Arts degree, graduating magna cum laude from Notre Dame of Maryland University. She earned her Master of Science degree in Curriculum and Instruction from Western Governors University, where she also received an Excellence Award in November 2020 for a paper she wrote about learning theories. Thank you, Sister Paula, for being our guest, and please say hello to the Brothers Talk family.
Hello, everyone. Hello, Brothers Talk family. I'm excited to be here.
So, as in the run-up to this particular program, we talked about the dearth of financial literacy, not only in our communities, but particularly amongst our young people, which is something you seem to not only be passionate about, but you've taken actions toward. So, what inspired you to want to address this critical issue in our communities?
Well, I actually, when I was living in New Jersey originally, there was Juan Casimiro, who became my mentor of the Casimiro Foundation. Juan Casimiro and his partner, then Scott Schickler, they had a company called Edge, Educational Designs that Generate Excellence. And they actually came to Atlantic City and did a training. And so I attended it and I was hooked ever since. And I then went to Florida and Coral Gables. They had a study and it was a train the trainer type of thing. And then I just took off running with it, just learning as much as I can, much as I could, and reading various magazines about youth entrepreneurship and financial literacy and reading the different books that had come out. And so that's what started me. And Juan Casimiro became my mentor and a dear, dear friend. And he's still preaching the gospel of youth empowerment, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship.
With all of that research that you said you did, the research and I guess you took training to teach the trainers, what would you say are some of the issues that were preventing young Black kids from getting this exposure to financial literacy that other groups are probably getting at a younger age?
It's not kitchen table conversation. That's a problem. I want financial literacy to be normalized. That's very important. If you look at cultures that are extremely successful in business, let's take Koreans as an ethnic group. Let's take Jewish Americans, white, of European descent, Jewish Americans, very successful in business. The children grow up learning about business. It is a part of their family structure. Money discussions are not secret. Black people, please stop, and Americans, please stop acting like your monthly bills or some type of mystery or a secret. We have to discuss these things in the open. So what's the old saying? Children learn what they see. So if you're apprenticing in your family business, you learn about entrepreneurship. You learn about small business. You learn about taxes. Whether you're running a mom and pop store or your parents run a multinational corporation, you're learning about these things. Your vocabulary is expanding. One of the things I do when I begin to teach, I say that every field has a vocabulary. Law, medicine, education, it's the same thing with finance. So that's a major problem. And they're not seeing Black-owned businesses anymore. They're not seeing Black doctors like they used to. And people that you would just normally see, Black teachers. So that's the problem. It is not saturated within the culture of Black America. It was at one time.
So for our listeners with young children who want to get them started, where should they begin?
Oh, there's some. So you know what? Begin with I want to keep it pretty practical today. Begin with the things that you do every day. When you go to the grocery store, when you go to the supermarket and you're looking at the prices, you know, whether you're math phobic or not, see, this is when math becomes real. Should I get the 3 cans for $1? Or should I get this one can that's $1.79? You know, you start talking about prices. Why? How about looking at your budget? What is our budget when we're going to the grocery store today? So before you even leave the house, or whether you order online, because a lot of people order online, especially since the pandemic hit, look at how much money do I have to spend? Is this within budget? Parents very oftentimes, you speak at children instead of speaking to them and teaching them. Instead of complaining about why are you putting all those cereals in the grocery cart, let's talk about the price of the cereal. Explain why this is outside of our budget. Start to use those type of phrases. This is not in the budget. I would like to, concentrate a little bit on budget today if we could.
Well, since you teed it up, go right ahead.
All right. But quickly, before we get to that, can I just tell you something really quickly? Economics, financial literacy and economics go hand in hand. And I want to give people a really quick example of how you can teach supply and demand. Okay. Let's just say you have 3 children standing before you. Get 6 boxes of pencils, 2 boxes of Crayola crayons, 2 boxes of multicolored gel pens. Again, 3 children, we're talking about supply and demand. 6 boxes of pencils, 2 boxes of Crayola crayons, 2 boxes of multicolored gel pens. Which of those 3 items do you think would be the most popular with the children? Right, exactly, the multicolored gel pens. But you only have 3 children, or you only have 2 boxes of gel pens, but you've got 3 children. So one child is going to go without, correct?
Right.
Supply and demand. Boom, right there. So I want financial literacy to be normalized. I want people to use everyday examples or things that they have in their home as ways to teach financial literacy. When I created that program, it was called Money Mondays in the beginning, and then I started doing it other days. But when I created that program in Baltimore City, I did it, as you know, Rod, as a response to the Freddie Gray murder. I did it in his neighborhood, children who knew Freddie Gray, in the same housing complex, Gilmore Homes, where Freddie Gray lived and died. And so one of the things that I did, I created a worksheet, and it was about the topic of manufacturing. And they would have to go home and identify things in their house, like I had in different categories, electronics, furniture, food items, different things like that. And they would have to list what the item was and where it was manufactured. So you know what that happened with that? they saw that most of the items in their home were not created in America. They were not created in the good old US of A. So from taking that information, I was able to not only add the word manufacture to their vocabulary, but to talk about innovation and entrepreneurial innovation. So I'll give you another example. If you're in the store and say you're with your little girl and you're in the Barbie doll section, and I love Barbie dolls, you're in the Barbie doll section instead of, or any type of games or whatever, Lego or anything, instead, let's just replace the word. Instead of saying Barbie dolls are created by Mattel, you could say they're manufactured, or you could say Lego, they're manufactured in the country of Denmark. It's just a shopping trip to the store, but you got a little financial literacy in there. Now, would you like me to jump onto the budget now?
I'm listening to what you're saying and I'm taking in what you're saying. And I'm like, yeah, this makes a lot of sense. So let's see about this here, the budget.
All right. So what I'm hoping that people will do is just kind of evaluate what they're doing and see it through the lens of what I call financial literacy wisdom. So it's summertime now. People are ready to get out. They want to go on vacations. They're going to be going to amusement parks and all types of things going on. And so why not I'm going to talk about financial literacy tools and concepts being commonplace. So that's the theme I'm going with for this podcast. And so how about building a budget for some events that you're going to do anyway? Graduation parties, birthday parties. Let's talk, what are balloons going to cost us? How much is the cake going to cost us? How about we compare, well, this supermarket, the cake is here, or the cake at Costco is this, and the cake at BJ's costs this, and it, get your child involved in creating the budget for a party, say, for example. I'm a big believer in parents showing the monthly expenses, their bills to their children. You should discuss your general household expenses openly. Do not keep it a secret. Explain to the children, this is what it takes for us to run this household. This is what it takes to keep the lights on. This is what it takes for you to have the internet, to play those video games you love, and to do your schoolwork. This is what it takes to keep us warm in the wintertime and cool in the summer. So, and I think it's really great when you help the child build the budget together. For example, August, September, that's back to school shopping time. Okay, so how much are those colored pencils going to cost? Well, you know, Staples always has that 10-cent deal, and Rite Aid has this deal where everything's really cheaper. It gets the child involved in not only creating the budget, but in really the critical thinking, because you actually have to consider what is best for the budget. One thing I want to share with you, I was in one of the supermarket chain near where I live, and I was thrilled to find two wonderful items in this bin by customer service. It was this bin where they had discounted books. Now, this is a supermarket now, and wasn't even looking for it. I was not shopping. I was in there for groceries, and it was a wonderful book by a man named Walter Andahl, A-N-D-A-L. And it's a book called Finance 101 for Kids, Money Lessons Children Cannot Afford to Miss. That book was $2.50. Another book that has a lot of coins, and it's a booklet that goes with it. It's called Think It's the Fun Way to Learn, Coins and Money Activity Workbook. So again, I found that in the supermarket. So there's a lot of financial literacy tools all around you. We all grew up pretty much playing Monopoly, but we kind of think of it as a game. I would like Black people, because of our history in this country, with so much land taken from us, so many people, you know, murdered, lynched because of land ownership, so many deeds to homes taken and property stolen. We need to see Monopoly, we need to see Oriental Avenue, and we need to see all these different park places and all these different places. We need to talk about property in terms of, yes, we can own. These are not just boards on a game board and pieces that we move. Monopoly needs to come alive. So we grew up playing these type of games. So the budget is very important. And I want to talk about building the budget in terms of the learning modalities. And there's something called VARK, V-A-R-K, that stands for visual, auditory, read, write, and kinesthetic. So I am going to use amusement parks and vacations as an example of you and your child creating a budget using the VARK modalities. So let's just say we're going to go to an amusement park. Now, we all know that those tickets are expensive. The first thing I would tell people to do is tell the parents, look at all the memberships that you have, whether it's AAA, anything on your job, look at your banking institutions, your banks and credit unions. What type of discounts do they offer to these places? Look at Groupon. That's the first thing I want you to do, because we always want to be looking for discounts. But let's, again, using VARK. So for your visual learners, you could use drawing paper, have them create the budget, or watch a YouTube video about how to create a budget. For the auditory learners, you know, it's really important that you repeat the financial literacy concepts and terminology. You can watch a YouTube video as well. But what I would do, especially for the auditory learners, if I'm creating this budget and I use my computer, my phone for everything, but it's really good to write it down, pen and paper. I would use terms, you know, an accounting term like a line item. Well, this is the line item where we put our entertainment for when we go to the movies or go to an amusement park or something like that. You say, well, okay, well, here's our electric bill. That's our line item. This is what we account for our electric bill every month, whether it's whatever, $100 or whatever it is. So for the read-write modality, I suggest doing the budget on your computer or a phone app and then letting them write down some of the line items in the budget. Now, the kinesthetic learners, they've got to touch. They're very tactile. They have to feel. I suggest doing a vision board. So, for example, if we're going to an amusement park, let's put up what the prices of the tickets are. So let's draw a ticket. Let's put a picture of a roller coaster up or something like that. Plan your how are we going to do our transportation? If you're living in Kentucky and you're going to Disney World in Florida, let's put an airplane on the vision board. Let's talk about how much the tickets, the flight is going to cost for each of us. Let them create a vision board that's also excellent for your visual learners.
Paula, so, you are just tremendous. You're just a wealth of knowledge, and you've really teed up your future appearances on this podcast, because the information that you've given us has just been scratching the surface, but in a very profound and substantial way. So we definitely want to make sure that we've got you lined up for future appearances. And please tell the family where they can find out more about all your efforts.
Oh, yes, very much so. You can reach me on social media at Paula's Universe, PAULASUNIVERSE. So that's all my social media at Paula's Universe. My website, which we're still developing because I'm redoing the website, it's paulasuniverse.com. paulasuniverse.com. And brothers, I need to throw out a couple websites really quick to give your listeners something to kind of chew on until my next appearance. I'd love them to go to cashcrunchgames.com. That's a great thing Paul Vasey has done, and he's even come to Baltimore to teach the children. He has board games, physical and online, and money lessons. That's cashcrunchgames.com. Hands-on banking, which is out of Wells Fargo. That's www.youth.hands-onbanking.com. So you can go to handsonbanking.com, but I'm concentrating on youth. So it's youth.handsonbanking.org. And, you know, go out there, get some Neil Godfrey books, and I'll see you next time I'm on the show.
Absolutely. So in our Black Business Spotlight of the Week, meet Isaac Barnes, the young founder and president of Imminent Future, one of the fastest growing companies in Arlington, Virginia. The Black-owned tech firm has been awarded a $13.4 billion defense contract with the U.S. Air Force and the U.S. Space Force. Isaac is a marvel, having led software development teams for both of the previous administrations, and he's reminiscent of young Black leaders transcending generations of relevant and personable individuals who have made such an extraordinary mark in history. He goes by the term future president because he plans to run for office in the early 2030s and is passionate about helping to upgrade democracy, create pathways for more people to create generational wealth, and break generational curses using technology. More information can be found on isaacbarnes.com and his company's website at imminentfuture.com. That's a wrap for another program, and God willing, we'll keep our focus on the issues that impact our community on the path to a better future. Don't forget, you can follow and communicate with us, sending your comments, questions, and show ideas to Brothers Talk on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or email us, thebrotherstalk@gmail.com. Until the next episode, as always, we sincerely appreciate your time and interest, and rest assured that we'll never take it or you for granted. And remember, let's do better today, because that's all we really have.